We're learning Megillas Esther. We are up to the fourth parak. We finished last time discussing Haman presented to Ahasuerus the complaint against the Jews. He puts his decree into motion. What was the decree? How was the decree? One decree, two decrees, exactly how that worked out. And now Mordechai finds out about the decree. Mordechai adayet kol asher nasa. He finds out everything that happened. It sounds like, again, there is part of it that was supposed to be secret. He finds out the whole story. So Vayikra Mordechai is begadav. He tears his clothing. Vayel bashtak vayifer. Vayetse b'tel chayir. Vayitak zakag dola umara. And he is very sad because there's a decree out to kill the Jewish people. Vayavad lifnei shara melech. And abal shara melech vil busak. He comes to the gate. The shara melech is the place of the judges. He is one of the members of the cabinet. The Gemara says he's a member of the Sanhedrin, who sits in the Shar HaMelech, one of the judges, fine. And he can't go in because he's not dressed. Evel gadol ha-Yehudim v'stom uvchil mispeid, tak ve'efer yutel ha-Rabim. Everywhere, everyone is all upset. We pointed out they only discovered this much later because the letters didn't reach all the later provinces till later. But fine, apparently everyone finds out. The best kept secret is one that you share, that you tell everyone it's a secret. Don't tell anybody it's a secret, but that's when everyone decides to fight. Vatavon and Arat Esther v'Sarisev. Gidul lovet tichachal makam eod. Vatishlach v'gadim lo bishem Mordechai lo tiris makam me'alav lo kibel. She has no idea what's going on. She sends clothing. What are you doing? They tell her Mordechai is sitting at the Shara Melech. He's wearing sackcloth. What's going on? She's like, let's send him clothing. Let him come in. Meaning he can't come in with the sackcloth. So let's at least get him changed and so he can come in. He refuses. And v'lo kibel, he didn't accept. He's sitting in his sackcloth. Hey, Vatikra Esther lahatach misarisei melech asher amid lefaneha. V'tetzaveh al Mordechai l'das mazeh v'al mazeh. So now she sends hatach. Apparently beforehand she sends someone else. Now she sends hatach, and he says, find out, what's going on? V'yisei hatach al Mordechai l'rechov v'ir asher livnei shara melech. It's very wordy. There's a lot of v'yishlach, v'yelech, v'yishlach, v'yelech. Like, okay, I get the point. They're sending messages to each other. Fine. So v'yaged l'mordechai kol asher karahu. He tells Hatach everything that happened. That parashat haKesef asher amar Haman lishkol ginzei haMelech beYehudim laAbdom. He told him what happened and the money. Don't forget the money. The money that Haman offered Ahasuerus. It doesn't say that Ahasuerus refused it, but the story of the money, that's very important. Tell him the story of the money, and then that's matzegin tavadat asher nitam b'shushan lasvidam matanlo. He gave him a copy of the proclamation to kill the Jews, la'arot et Esther l'hagidla, to show Esther, she clearly has no clue, u'l'hagidla l'savos aleha, to command her, la'voi la'melech li'ischanenu l'vakesh me'lefanav alama, to come and convince Esther to come and plead to Ahasuerus. Now, I don't really have a good answer. Why does he focus on the money? The money seems like a detail that didn't actually pan out. Haman offered money. Ahasuerus said, no, now I understand. It sounds like Ahasuerus, meaning the question is, of all the details to focus on, that's the detail. Meaning, admittedly, Mordechai probably told Hatach the whole story. Es kol asher karahu. I got it. And then he sends also the proclamation to show her. I got it. And I'm assuming he told them all the details. It's going to be Yud Gimel Adar. It was sent to every place. He included all the details. Why does the Megillah choose to highlight that he also told them about the money? So the simple answer is he would have thought he would have left that out because it's meaningless. Because in the end, Ahasuerus didn't accept the money. So maybe he didn't tell him, because it's not helpful. Okay, so he included that detail also.
Maybe to show that he knew every detail.
So it could be to show him that he knew that it's real.
One thing you can say, maybe, is we kept him writing for 2 years.
Oh, okay, so maybe. That's interesting, that's clever. Meaning, you might think that you could buy off Ahasuerus, meaning we'll offer more money. And, you know, that's how things work. Whoever offers the most money, that's who the king or whoever grants protection to. But he didn't even, that's a clever answer, I like that. He didn't even accept Haman's money, so he's not going to accept our money. Meaning he did it for free. Also, it changed the Ahasuerus in really bad light. Meaning, how much of this was Mordechai aware of, and how much of this was Esther aware of, and Hatach aware of, but was Ahasuerus aware that it was the Jewish people? We talked about this. It sounds like Mordechai assumes that, Mordechai sounds like he's painting Ahasuerus like he's in on it with Haman. They both want to kill the Jewish people. So much so that Haman even offered him money and Ahasuerus hates us so much that he refused the money. I mean, that's one way to read it. Correct. We know Achashverosh refused the money. Hakesev nasun lo. Right? He refused the money. Now the question is, what do you make with that? So I made the argument from Achashverosh's perspective, why does he refuse the money? Particularly because Haman doesn't say it's the Jewish people. So even if you want to say, there's a tension in the Megillah. Is Achashverosh an anti-Semite or not? It's not clear. It's not terribly clear. There's there's one strain in Chazal that appears in multiple places that say Achashverosh was a worse anti-Semite than Haman. Okay, there's another strain that says not like that. But the Megillah, the text itself, doesn't seem to indicate that. Right? It doesn't say anywhere, you never get that feeling. You never get that feeling, and again, you have to read it carefully, but if you assume that Achashverosh doesn't know it's the Jewish people, so okay. So clearly he doesn't hate the Jewish people. He has a Jewish wife. Yeah. Some of my best friends are Jews. He doesn't know he's Jewish, but he also doesn't know he's killing the Jewish people.
But later on, when he was an anti-Semite, he wouldn't honor Mordechai.
So maybe. So you have to play the political calculation. Why is he honoring Mordechai? Meaning, is there more benefit to be gained? Meaning, even if I hate you, it could be that I'll get more from honoring, for a political purpose, that maybe I have to honor Mordechai. We'll get there. We'll have to get there eventually to figure that part out. But you don't know. It seems like, to me, I mean, I like this reason very much, that don't try bribing him, it's not going to work, he already refused the money, he hates us so much, they offered him money, he hates us so much, he didn't even take the money, he wants to kill us so badly. It makes Achashverosh in a very, very negative light, I think.
Maybe he didn't take the money then, but he maybe took it later.
Maybe, okay. Okay, we don't know. Right, regardless of the reason, the Megillah chooses to highlight, of all the details of the story, that's the one that Mordechai told Hatach. Now, presumably he told the whole story, but that's the one that's highlighted. It could be that because that's the next step. The next step he needs to convince Esther to act. Don't think you can bribe him. You can't bribe him. I like that. You can't bribe him. It's not going to work. Bribery's not going to happen. So he needs to convince Esther, you should go. Go to talk to the king, which admittedly makes sense. She's our man on the inside, you know, woman, whatever. She's our person. She's our woman on the inside. That's why we have somebody on the inside, you know, to like defend our causes. So go talk to him. Tell him to stop the decree. Now, it's funny for a whole bunch of reasons because apparently, so Esther says, so let's read the psukim. Mordechai Hatach comes and tells Esther what Mordechai said. Very verbose. Vatomer Esther lahatach v'tasavel Mordechai. Esther sends a message back. Yeah. Kol avdei hamelech amdinos hamelech yodim. Everybody knows. Asher kol ish v'isha asher yavo lamelech lechater p'nimis asher lo yikarei achas dato lahamis. Anyone who enters the chamber without being called, he gets killed. Okay. Levad ma'asher yishid lo hamelech esharbit azah v'chaya unless he extends the scepter to say, oh, good, come. And I haven't been called in over a month. Okay. And then Vayegid Mordechai Divrei Esther. That gets transmitted to Mordechai. What's her argument? Mordechai's request was simple. The king wants to kill the Jews. Go intervene. Talk to him. See what will happen. And she says, everybody knows you can't go into the king. Otherwise, he'll kill you. And I haven't been there in 30 days. So first of all, in call of the Hamelach Yodim, if everybody knows, presumably Mordechai knows also. If call of the Hamelach V'amdinos Hamelach Yodim, Mordechai was a minister, he's aware. Apparently, he thinks it's worth the risk. Meaning, he knows that, and he still is urging you to go. So what's your argument? But I don't want to. And then what does it have to do? I wasn't called for 30 days. Okay. Meaning, what does that have to do with anything? I wasn't called for 30 days. What's her argument? What is she saying?
She's not
going to
pull on the guy.
Maybe she doesn't have enough pull. But what does that have to do with it? And then, clearly, Mordechai knows you can't go in. So what it sounds like she's effectively saying, but I don't want to. Right? And Mordechai's response, depending on how you read it, we'll read it a number of different ways. Take a look in Yud Gimel. Vayomer Mordechai l'Hashiv el Esther. Mordechai responds to Esther. Al tidami b'nafsheich li'malek beit ha-melech mikol ha-yodim. Don't pretend, right? Al tidami b'nafsheich. Koach ha-dimayon, of imagination. Don't pretend to yourself li'malek beit ha-melech mikol ha-yodim. That you will be hiding like a miklat you'll be safe in Beis HaMelech Mikol HaYehudim, because you're in the palace, you'll be safer than everybody else. Don't think that because you're there, you're safer than everybody else. Okay, presumably, what do you say? Meaning, you could be killed too. But that's not what he continues. If you're quiet, God will save the Jews. And you and your father's house will be erased. Maybe that's why you're the queen. Each of these phrases sounds true, sounds compelling, but what in the world does it have to do with each other? He says, don't think you're safe in the palace. Because God will save the Jews and we'll all be okay, but you'll be gone, and this is why you're the queen. I mean, what's the flow? What's he saying? Read the sukkim. Meaning, don't think you're safe in the palace. Okay, right? Meaning, don't think that if you do nothing, all the Jews outside will be killed, but you're the queen. You're the queen. So, like, he's not going to kill you, right?
No.
So don't think that, meaning...
She's not the queen yet. She's in the harem.
No, now she's already the queen. Now she's the queen. This is after. She's the queen. So it sounds like don't think you're safe, because God's going to save the Jews anyway. Well, if God saves the Jews, presumably he'll save her too. Meaning,
nobody
even knows she's Jewish, so why is she even at risk? So then don't think you're... Why not think... I mean, if you think about it, she has very good reason to think she's safe. He doesn't know she's Jewish. He doesn't know she's Jewish. So she has good reason to think she's safe. So there's some, the Rosh Shlomo Alkabet quotes, remember we had their whole position, says, no, he knew she was Jewish. This is proof that he knew she was Jewish. Don't think you're safe in the king, in the palace, because he knows you're Jewish also. Okay. Fine. But he tells her, Kim Hachareit, meaning if you do nothing, that's the other option, do nothing, God will save the Jewish people. So then what are you worried about? Right? What are you worried about? And, Atu Beit Avich Tovedu, he'll save the Jewish people, but not you. Okay, so I get it, meaning you had a chance and you didn't take it, so he'll take it. But it's a lot to unpack in the sentence. What's going on? Yes, so you have to read something more than that, right? It doesn't mean you'll die, because if God's going to save the Jews, why should he not save you also? So, meaning he says, don't pretend you're safe in the palace, right? Now, if Ahasuerus doesn't know she's Jewish, it's a better question. Does Haman know she's Jewish?
Yes.
Does Haman know that Esther's Jewish? Meaning, from Haman's plan, is he planning on killing the queen?
No.
Let's assume nothing happens. Meaning, let's assume that Esther never intervenes, and Haman's plan, Rachmana Litzlan, comes true. Was he planning on killing the queen?
No.
He's not that stupid. He's the one who got rid of Vashti. He's not going to be the same one who says, let's get rid of the next lady also. Right, eventually he's impressed that he's invited by the queen. It doesn't seem like, so it could be that Haman just doesn't know that she's Jewish. Could be that he just doesn't know. Meaning... And even if he knew, he would probably make an exception for the queen. We're not going to kill the queen. We'll kill everybody else. We won't kill the queen. That's ridiculous. No, but they're not going to kill the queen. That's crazy. The king's not going to be... I mean, you want to get rid of the Jews, get rid of the Jews, okay, the Nudnikim, whatever, but they can't kill the queen. It just seems excessive. So it actually seems safe. Why not? Either he doesn't know you're Jewish, and so you're good, and even if he does know you're Jewish, no one's going to kill you. That makes sense.
Right,
it sounds like a good time. Meaning, if you're not good, she's probably going to be safe. It's a good reason. It's admittedly very selfish. It's very selfish. It doesn't paint her in the best light. Right? It doesn't sound like it doesn't paint her in the best light. Now, and it's a Musar Shmuz. Meaning, you are going to be selfish. You're selfish and he hides there. And you think you'll be safe. Don't worry. God's going to save the Jews. We don't... It'll happen. We'll be good, you'll be selfish, but we'll be taken care of. Just, okay, that's a lot of emunah. I get it. Mordechai has a lot of emunah. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revach v'hatzalah ya'amod la'yadim b'makom acher. Confidence. It'll happen. The Jews will be safe. I get it. Right? Har besluchim la'makom. So, you have to have istadlus. You can't just sit there and do nothing. You have to have a plan. You have to try. But he's confident that the Jewish people will not be wiped out. It could be a dissent. Meaning, the fact that we're confident that Klal Yisrael will continue doesn't mean that it won't be... Klal Yisrael will continue. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. I get it. But it could be a more pleasant continuation, and it could be a more gruesome and terrible continuation.
You can't wait for a man.
So what you have to do, Fine.
That's what he wants her to do, because if any of her line in there.
Right, this is like, I mean, this is Mordechai giving the strongest musicians. Right, this is like, but in Sfardim, we say Kavish, we all, Revach v'hatzala. So Revach there doesn't mean profit. Right, Revach with the Yud means profit. It's Revach, it's from this Pasuk. Revach v'hatzala, God will save us, it'll be okay. We're quoting Mordechai, every time we say Kavish. Let's play the start. Right? Because it's an important article, but what does it say about Esther? How do we like...
It implies you're safe to choose one way or the other.
So, yeah.
It implies you're not.
So there is... So some of the Mepharshim are uncomfortable with this, meaning Esther turns out to be really selfish, right? Mordechai's painting, meaning in theory, it sounds like, if you're reading it at the simple level, that Esther's saying, look, I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be okay. I'm sorry, guys. I'll be good, but forget it. It doesn't paint her in the best light. So the Mepharshim don't like that. They give a better reading. Right, he told her, but okay, but then she'll be safe. But it paints her in a bad light. So Rashi doesn't like this. Rashi effectively says, you know what? No. She's not saying I'm not going to go. She's just saying... The decree's not for 11 months. Not for 11 months. Oh, sorry, and that's not Rashi. That's the next piece. Rashi is... It says... Let's go back. That's not Rashi. That's the second piece. Rashi... No, you don't necessarily disagree. Rashi there argues... He says that, look... Ahasuerus is not somebody who is like... a stable genius, you know? He's very, very fickle. He killed his first wife. Why did he kill his first wife? Politics. He killed his first wife over politics. Right now everything seems fine. Wait for your October surprise before the election. Who knows what's going to happen in 11 months from now? In Ahasuerus' world, that's like, you're safe today. Who knows what's going to happen in 11 months from now? Is he going to like you, not like you? He liked Vashti. He got rid of her because of politics. Maybe he'll get rid of you because of politics. You need to take advantage right now. It could be that she was just trying to buy time. Right? And there's this David Tukbos Elnis, Rav Rachim Chai Chavita Koin. He says, that's what he was arguing. And that's what Esther's argument was. Because when Esther responds to him, look, everybody knows you can't go in. I haven't been called in 30 days. Not the opposite. Not that he doesn't like me. He'll call me soon. Meaning, I haven't been called in 30 days. Presumably, he'll call me next week. He'll call me. Why risk it? It's not for 11 months from now. Why risk something if he's going to call? I haven't called in 30 days, so he's going to call me soon anyway. So why bother? I have 11 months. And Mordechai says, no. That's not a good plan. Yeah. That's not a good plan. Now, strike while the iron's hot, because you don't know what's going to happen. Till he calls you, and this, and that, and what's someone going to say worse, and politics. Now, you need to deal with it now. It makes Esther appear, meaning she's confident. Okay, yeah, I'm the Hanami, I'm going to go. But why risk anyone's life over this? I'll be called shortly anyway. I'm confident he'll call me soon. I'm going to go so long without. Of course not. He'll call me, don't worry, and then I'll go, it'll all be fine. Right? She's like poo-pooing it. I'll go in, it'll be fine. And he's getting all nervous that that's not exactly what's going to happen. And Mordechai is nudging her that that's probably not the best idea. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's a good question. It's a good question. How many people know she's Jewish? Right, so that's the Medrash, right? The Medrash says that... I'm sorry, apologize. I'm losing my papers here. Right, that maybe the people working in her room knew, maybe they didn't know. So that was part of the argument. If they know she's Jewish, then why is she eating only this food? They say, well, that's what she's used to eating. And she's used to eating it from Mordechai's house, so that's what she's used to eating, whether they realized it was kosher or not. Right, so the question is, how much of that do they know? Now, Hatach is sending these messages back and forth between Esther and Mordechai. He must have picked up on something. Like they have a relationship. Persian. Probably in Chelov, but yeah. Probably not gefilte fish in Iran, but like, okay. Like, that, you know. But not chillin'. No. Rice-based foods only. But, fine. So it pains. So okay. So now we understand what Esther is trying to delay, maybe, and saying it'll be okay. She's not saying no. We'd like to believe Esther was not saying please don't do it. But what's Ahasuerus' argument? What's Mordechai's argument? It's not even part of my entrance. What's Mordechai's argument? Right? He's telling her, look, don't think you're safe. Either don't think you're safe in general because Ahasuerus could change his mind. I get that. Or don't think everything will work out because who knows? He got rid of his first wife. And don't wait. Don't wait. Waiting is not a good idea. Why? And then, you know what? In the charesh, the charesh, and if you do, God will save all of us. God will save all of us. You too. God will save us. God will save us. So that's not like, but it's not the most inspiring speech. That's not like, okay, now go. You know, you're so important, and if you're not, don't worry, God has another plan. There's always plan B. You don't tell somebody that. Meaning, if you're trying to encourage someone to do something, don't tell them, but if you don't, they have plan B, don't worry. It just doesn't sound like a rousing speech. So why is it? So this is one of the, Michael Rosenzweig was one of our Rebbeim in Yeshiva. He usually pointed out that usually that indicates that that's the most important part. That is the most rousing speech. So why is that? Because when you look at the psukim, that's not all Mordechai says. He says, "Kim acharei sacharishi ba'it azot revach ve'hatzala yamod la'idim ha'makom acher ve'atu beit avich tovedu." Meaning, we will be saved, and you're not going to be counted for anything. You'll be alive. You won't count for anything. The most important line is the last. Who knows? Maybe this is why you're the queen. And it is the most rousing speech, and I think that's the most important line in the whole Megillah. There's two important lines in the Megillah. One is Mordechai, one is from Zeresh. But we'll focus on Mordechai first. Who knows? Maybe this is why it's all happening. Because the point of the Megillah is God runs history. God is running the story, right? We saw Hasper Astir Panay Bayomahu. You can't see God's hand running the story, but it's beneath the surface. God is always running the story, right? That's why his name isn't there. You don't see any open miracles. But right beneath the surface, it's full of coincidences. He says, God's running the story. There's a story here. There's something happening. There's something afoot. Something is happening. God arranges for a plan. You're the queen. How ridiculous is that? Think about 5 years. It's ridiculous. He found a Jewish girl to be the queen. No one knows she's Jewish. We're in Golos. We're not the most prominent people. Ahasuerus has stopped the building of the Beit HaMikdash. He doesn't necessarily like us all that much. And we have a Jewish queen who was called to the king a month ago. He likes you. He chose you above Vashti, who was the previous daughter of Belshazzar. That's not a coincidence. Umiyodeim leit kazot yigal malchut. Meaning, this is not a coincidence. Grab hold of the reins of history. Do something. You, and only you, have this opportunity right now. And if not, atu beis avich tovedu. The Jewish people will be fine, but no one will remember you about anything. Meaning, your name will be erased from the Jewish people. Now you won't die, you'll live. But you didn't take the opportunity to see God is running history, and you can get on that horse and be on it. You're right if he does. If you don't, you're right. But how many people have the opportunity to do this? You have this opportunity. It's true, but that's the point. Because God's running the whole story. If God's running the whole story, this is what's happening. You have the ability to do this. God is running history, and you can do it. And it works, because the next line is, she doesn't say, you know what? No. Let's fast. Meaning, she's bought in completely. Because I think that the Megillah actually has two lessons that are very related. The first lesson is that clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs history. The second lesson is, though, and therefore what? And therefore you have to act accordingly. And not only that we're supposed to read it and say, oh, when we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, we are supposed to act accordingly. That's true. But the characters in the Megillah act accordingly. Esther learns this lesson. Mordechai teaches it to her. And she then says, okay, I will act. We'll see two more times in the Megillah. Three more times even. Once something's true, you start seeing it in the Sukkim. So I don't know how many times. But once you see it's true, then maybe I'm making stuff up because I think it's true. But I can definitely prove that it's there a number of times. that when someone realizes that God is running history, they act different. Meaning, not only are we supposed to act different, we read the Megillah because they did. Esther realized that God was in charge. Yeah. And so, fine, I'll take the reins and I'll do it. There's a number of times in the Megillah we'll see that where there's someone is reminded or someone takes this to heart, and they do. They see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in the world, the Yad Hashem, and they function differently. And she says, fine. Leich Gnosis Kol Yehudim and Yishtim B'Shushan B'Tzumu Alayv Al Tochlu B'Al Tishtu Shloshes Yamim Laila V'Yom. So what does that mean? Leich Gnosis Kol Yehudim, gather all the Jews and fast. And I point out, it doesn't say doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't even mention God. Now we know what Tzumu Alayv means. We know a fast day is a tanya. We know what that means. So why not include it? So the Ibn Ezra quotes Rav Sadia Gaon, who says, well, they, you know, this is an interesting take on the Megillah, but Mordechai wrote it for the persons, meaning the persons were going to read it. You don't want it to sound too frum. If it sounds too frum, then the persons aren't going to read it. So they left that out. Okay. But the Targum Sheni, there's a Targum, there's also like a Targum Sheni. On Megillah says there's a Targum Sheni. Targum Sheni is really long. It adds in all, like, it builds in all the Midrashim, but in fancy Aramaic, so it's harder to read. It goes through a whole thing, what exactly happened, and the Midrashim talk about Mordechai went around to every base Medrash, and he got all the children, and he got all the people, and the davening, and everything that happened. So where do they get that from? I think the word, Leich Knos Es Kol Yehudim. Knos, Beit Knesset, meaning that's what it means. You couldn't use Esof, Kabes. Knos Es Kol Yehudim is a strange word. It's not used in its context so much. It sounds to me like he's trying to create, like, that's what we pointed out before. If Haman's accusation against the Jewish people was Mefuzah or Mefura, then we're all separate. Kenosis Kol Yehudim means bring them together. Don't just get them all to fast. You've got to tell everyone to fast. Why do you have to gather them? Why do you have to gather everybody to fast? Just tell them to fast. Everyone will sit at home and fast. She's saying no. Kenosis Kol Yehudim. If we're going to do something on a national level, if what I am going to do has national consequences, has cosmic consequences, if I'm recognizing that God runs history, it's the history of Am Yisrael. It's not just the history of individuals of Yechidim. And therefore, the response has to be communal as well. The response has to be communal. Kenosis Kol Yehudim. Gather everybody together, because that's the only way to defeat the Gzeira. The only way to do it is by getting people together, because if what's involved is the history of Kal Yisrael, then the only way to defeat it is also through all of Klal Yisrael coming together. Okay, Bezras Hashem will continue next week.